ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Romans, and we're in chapter 1. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. Some people just got on a road and they had no support, maybe their families. You never know what people are going through in their lives. And so what it does is it helps us to realize, number one, there are people out there who've overcome. Number two, there's a gospel that helped them overcome. You need to know that. I need to know that. We need to get ourselves available for our world because this is the world you're in. You are not in the 1950s anymore. Okay, we're not in Kansas anymore. The Bible says it's the power of God unto salvation. Do you realize the word salvation is so comfortable to us? We just enjoy it, sleep on it at night. It's awesome. But the word has much import for you and me. Think of the word salvage. You and I were in the junkyard of the world. We were a mess. We were like the Bible talks about Israel. I found you, God says, in your blood. Meaning they were born, but somebody abandoned that child after birth, in its afterbirth, and took a hike. You were naked, you were in your blood, but I took you and I picked you up and I loved you and I washed you and I overshadowed you with my love and I gave you every single thing you needed. That's what salvation is. You were in your blood and now you and I have been cleansed. You've been washed, you've been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Such were some of you, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. The Bible says, unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The reason that's important to point out in Paul's context is because he was talking to people in Rome, far away from Israel, because the church in Israel had been subjected to a great deal of persecution, and everybody went everywhere preaching the gospel. Except the disciples, so you know. It's not just the preachers that are supposed to be preaching. They tarried in Jerusalem, the Bible says. But everybody went everywhere preaching the gospel. You know, that's what revival is. Revival's not getting a tear in your eye. It might start with that, but if it ends with that. These people down in the Asbury thing, if there's not souls that are a result of this, then something didn't happen. Because revival is where we realized what we should have done. We forgot and we needed to be revived and realized you need to get back out there. Did you ever realize that the Bible talks about the work of the ministry is for the perfecting of the saints onto the work of the ministry? You ever heard that? It's Ephesians. It says this. It says that the work of the ministry is for the maturing of the saints onto the work of the ministry. Well, it's pretty cryptic on its face. What is the work of the ministry? What is it? Well, we have an answer to that over in 2 Corinthians. The Bible says you have received the ministry of reconciliation. So what is the church supposed to be doing? It's supposed to be equipping the believers to go out and tell other people to be reconciled to God. Remember, it goes on to say, you've been given the ministry of reconciliation. And then he says, it is as if God is in us beseeching others, be ye reconciled to God. You want to know what the work of the ministry is? It's to tell somebody they need to get reconciled to God. Do you realize that when the flood came, there were a lot of people had been told for 120 years by a hammer and a saw? That means you could be at work hammering and sawing, but you're telling somebody to be reconciled to God? You can do that. You make cookies with your grandkids. Honey, you need to know Jesus. We just love you. We're praying for you. And you know, you take it at their level, give them what they want, but let them see Jesus, read a Bible story, play cartoons that are Christian, and show them the gospel. You can do that. Don't let your seed go straight to hell without any intervention. You get in there and do what you can. Take them out and show them Jesus, because your kids may not be going to do that. Beloved, that's our job. We've been given this ministry. We are in a different kind of a context than Paul was, but what Paul's context was is he had that same ministry was being vouchsafed to both groups, the Jews and the Gentiles. He says, though, that it was salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And he's going to have some very hard words for the Jews because they were the first ones who got the gospel. You know, they had it all through their history. They should have had it in their fabric by the time Jesus came, but sadly, it was not so. So God had John the Baptist come and prepare the way and make sure people repented and preach to them that there was coming a refiner's fire and a and that an axe is set at the root of the tree, and that he was going to flip Israel over, and you better be on the right side of things. That's what he was telling them. And so when you find him talking to these people in Rome, he's dealing with a racial tension. There were Jews and there were Gentiles. Just because you're in Rome doesn't mean you're just Roman. You could be Greek, Celts, and all these different barbarians. They all hung out in Rome. So it was a large, large swath of people. It's like being in one of the big cities of our day. And so what he says is to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And so this gospel, it literally spans the complete spectrum. Aren't you glad that's true? Doesn't matter whether you're white, black, red, yellow, it doesn't matter. Jesus saves. Amen? He does. And he wants to save the people that you and I may have difficulty with. You know, the Jewish people had a difficult time with the Gentiles. They had kind of gotten it in their DNA that they were the cat's meow, as it were. They were the front row seats, and they even had three courts. They had the court of the Gentiles, the court of the women, and the court of the men in the temple worship. Gentiles could only go so far. They couldn't get up close. The Bible says in Ephesians, therefore, that what Jesus did when he died is he took down the middle wall of partition from us. And he made two. Out of the two, one new man. It was the Jews and everybody else. You know what we think? We think America's it, man. We got about 10. We are it. Boy, we got this so good. These people coming over our borders, they're rascals. And yeah, they are. But we were rascals too. And we got saved and we found Jesus. Now, I just want you to be clear. I am not one who thinks it's okay for that border to be open, but I do believe it's advantageous for some people that can share Jesus. And when somebody gets saved, guess what they're going to do? The right thing. Okay? So maybe the answer to abortion is to get somebody saved, not to talk to them about their baby. Talk to them about their heart and how Jesus loves them and he's sad with them about their problems and all that. But share Jesus. And the thing to do about somebody who's running across the border illegally is to tell them about Jesus, how he loves them, and he understands how they are. And maybe, just maybe, he brought you here so I could tell you this. And when they get saved, they go back home and tell their family. Remember that demoniac from Gadara? He was pretty well messed up, right? I'm going to go with you, Lord. No. You need to go back to your friends and your relatives and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you. Can I say that to somebody on the radio? Maybe you're sitting there in a room right now. You know, and you're thinking, I got saved, or I'm thinking about it. Well, you need to get saved, and then you need to go home and tell them all about it. And not be in a place of breaking the law in another country. Just get all your accounts current and allow him to be king, because he's the one who knows how things should run. The Bible says of this Jews and the Gentile thing that it was always a problem, even with the Samaritans. You may recall Jesus having an interaction with a woman in Samaria. When he said, I must needs go through Samaria, which nobody did that. They literally walked all the way around and logged a whole lot of more miles just to get around the Samaritans. They were so despised. Despised more than even the Gentiles regularly were, because they were a mixed race. So again, we have this prejudice and we have this thing in there in the Bible, and he deals with it. Well, what he did was he sat down at this well. His buddies went to McDonald's to get some food. While they're getting food, he's there alone, sitting on a well. And this woman comes at the hottest part of the day. And she had to, because all the other women even saw her as an outcast among all the outcasts. And she begins to talk to him about religious things. And she said to him, Sir, our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And ye say, meaning the Jews, ye Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place men ought to worship. And Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me. He says, Believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither worship in this mountain nor at Jerusalem. He says, You worship what you know not. Can I tell you something right now? A lot of people are quoting verses that they don't even understand. They're quoting them. No weapon formed against you will stand. God wins and all this. They don't even know what they're talking about. And this is just like Israel before it fell bad. God sent some prophets and says, Woe unto you who desire the day of the Lord. It's a day of darkness and dread, and burning and death. But you think you're going to have a good day. I know. There's a lot of people like that. But he says, The hour comes when you shall neither worship here nor in Jerusalem. He says, Because you guys worship, ye know not what. And we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Now, we can look at this world and we think this world is a mess. We've got a whole lot of people out there hating on Jews. Anti-Semitism is at a rolling boil now. it's really going to be that way. The Bible says that God in the last days is going to make the Israelites a cup of trembling and a burdensome stone to the entire world. It has to come to that. But don't fall in. God came through the Jewish people and they gave us our Savior. And one day, they're one day, all in one day, going to be converted to their Savior. It's going to happen. That doesn't mean we agree with everything they do. We can't do that. Politically, spiritually, they're not clear until they know Jesus, okay? But the fact is that we know God's got a plan. We're kind of rubbing our hands together, excited, because He's had them there since 1948. That's quite a long time. This generation shall not pass away till all these things be fulfilled. That's a long time ago now. Rub your hands together and pray that God would bring peace to Jerusalem, because that means the Prince of Peace will be there. Okay, so pray for that, because that's what God would have us to do. And the Bible says, "But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him." Now this is why verse 16 is so worthy of our attention. There's so much just in that one verse. Dynamite, salvation, power, all of it. And the Bible says, "For." Now, He's actually amplifying what He said. "I'm ready to preach the gospel, for I'm not ashamed." He says, "For therein," in verse 17, "is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." Now, a lot of people struggle with the words "faith to faith." But you have to recognize the context of what Paul has said. He said a verse or two before, in verse 12, if you let your eyes fall back to verse 12, he says, "That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me." Do you realize that our faith plays off of each other? Your faith plays off my faith plays off of your faith. When I see you fired up, and you see me fired up, we're both fired up. If I'm down and you're up, two are better than one, all of that. He needs these Jews and these Gentiles to be on the same page. That's what has to happen. The blacks, the whites, the reds, the yellows, whatever you talk about, you got to be on the same page if you're a child of God. I love hearing black preachers really fired up. E.B. Hill used to blow my hair back every time I heard him. I was all the ways excited. Tony Evans is out there preaching the Word of God and preaching to this world in which we live in a way that only he could, because he knows his Bible and he knows Jesus and he's excited. And what I'm trying to show you is that each person brings something to the table. Each different variant that God has put on the earth in color of skin and culture differences, all of that is what makes this world wonderful. And what we have to do is stop letting the devil stir the pot and make it like something weird and odd. Nobody wants everybody to be white. Nobody wants everybody to be black. Nobody wants everybody to be Chinese. Nobody wants everybody to be brown or whatever the colors are that are coming up with these days. We have the variety that brings beauty and brings blessing to each one of us. We laugh at those people who are a lot less stiff than we are. We love the fact that they get all excited and do their thing. And at the same time, we stand in awe at those who can take the Word of God and slice it down just perfectly and give us all the nuances and the understandings. We love the fact that some people can build and some people can bless in various ways, like giving. I marvel at the way some people have wisdom. And our study in the book of Chronicles, reading about Solomon, all of his wisdom, he had everybody doing the things they needed to do in such a precise way. His wisdom gave him the ability to plug everybody in exactly where they needed to be. But we wouldn't want everybody to be like that, because they'd be getting on each other's nerves. You can't always have that, right? And I'm trying to show you that this beauty is that God, He has this faith to faith. When your faith meets a brother's faith that is of a different culture, there's something very, very wonderful about that.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.